This is Marketplace. I'm Kai Ryssdal. Insurance is never exactly a fun thing to talk about, but coming out of the last couple of months of severe weather and wildfires, insurance does seem to be an important thing to talk about. Tom Wilson is the CEO of Allstate, they of the You're in Good Hands insurance. We called him up in Allstate's home city, Chicago, for the latest installment of Conversations from the Corner Office. Mr. Wilson, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
All right, let me throw a couple of phrases at you, get your gut-level reaction. The first one, obviously, given this season, has to be hurricanes.
Well, there's a lot more damage than hurricanes. So there's straight-line winds, there's wildfires, as you know, up in Napa. There's hail. So these disasters happen continuously all throughout the year. We spend over several billion dollars a year helping people rebuild. And so it's all about the severe weather, and the weather is worse.
All right, well, let me deviate then from my throwing a couple of things at you and dig into that one a little bit. You know, you're the guy or one of several guys and people who pays for our rebuilding in areas where we know bad things are going to happen, right? They're going to rebuild on mountainous areas and we're going to have fires there. We're going to rebuild on beaches and we know we're going to have floods and hurricanes there. Are we doing it wrong?
There's two parts to that. So first, there's the private
yes
market. Yes
and no.
Right?
No,
yeah. So in the private market, it works pretty well. I believe that the governments are not doing it well, particularly the federal government. So as you point out, you know, people have floods, same house floods three times in a row. People rebuild it three times in a row. And we're using taxpayers' money to redo that. Really, the federal government needs to think about this more holistically rather than just get in and when bad things happen, start helicoptering in and throwing all kinds of money out at people because it's politically expedient.
Well, so let's take Houston just for an example, where I know you probably lost a whole bunch of money in the flooding after Hurricane Harvey. Should the government be saying to people, you know what, you cannot build in that what is now a dried out reservoir, but when the rains come, you're going to be underwater?
Well, I think you can't do it immediately, right? Because people built there and they built there under the rules that existed at the time. But I think what the federal government could do is say, over time, we're going to move to a different system. So if you're supposed to pay $500 for insurance and today you're paying $100, over the next 3 or 4 years, we're going to get you up to $500. If you shouldn't be there at all, then we're not going to let you rebuild. So we really need a multi-year plan to get ourselves out from where we built stuff which's in harm's way.
Let me turn the page here for a second to sort of a second gig that you have. You're the chairman of the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. We've had those folks on a couple of times in the last couple of months talking about some of the policy changes that are going on in Washington. I wonder how you see the chamber's role in the Trump administration's economic policies and where the chamber stands on that, because the folks we've talked to have not always been in favor of what's going on.
Well, maybe back up a little bit. So first, I believe that the U.S. chamber is there to help business do what it does best, which is create prosperity. So, you know, we take iron rocks and we make steel skyscrapers. We take some molecules, a little chemistry, and some brain power and make life-saving drugs. That's what business does. Governments can't do that. Nonprofits can't do that. Sometimes it's aligned with what the government wants to do. Sometimes it's not aligned with what the government wants to do. So, for example, today on free trade, basically the chamber is keeping the whole NAFTA thing alive by working with Canada, Mexico, and the U.S. to try to move that to some answer. The chamber's in favor of other policies that the government is putting first. So it depends whether it aligns with our ability to help businesses do what they do best.
As a guy running Allstate and also as the guy representing the chamber, how much are you banking on tax reform just in terms of economic growth in this economy and also for your own business?
Well, we think the taxes should be reformed. It's almost like built-up wax on a table. You remember that lemon pledge? there's just been too much wax built up, and so we got to clean it up. We need to make it more competitive internationally, in part because I think people just game the system today. They move locus of profits around the world to try to pay less tax. And we need to change that. We do think lower taxes will drive growth, but I don't think that's the end. I think that's chapter one. Chapter two has to be how do we do that and not burden our children with increased amounts of debts, which chapter three means how do we make sure that people get what they need, but that the entitlements don't run out of control.
Well, let me add a chapter four. How do you give corporations tax cuts, which you say corporations need to grow this economy, without burdening average middle class taxpayers, which is what it seems this tax bill does?
This tax bill doesn't actually raise taxes for middle income people. What it may do is create an increased deficit for the government. Then you get into, well, will it drive enough growth? I believe that, you know, no tax bill is going to solve all of our problems. We still need to go back and figure out how do we balance a budget, or at least not run as large a deficit as we will do. So there's more work to be done, but you got to do one thing at a time. You know, Washington is having a hard time getting one thing done, much less a comprehensive program that deals with all the things we got going.
Tom Wilson, the CEO of Allstate. Mr. Wilson, thanks a lot for your time, sir.
Thank you, Kai.
We've put the entire conversation Tom Wilson and I had on our Corner Office podcast, including an insurance question that may plague all of us in the not-so-distant future. If your self-driving car hits somebody else's self-driving car, whose insurance is on the hook? Tom's got an answer. It's on our Corner Office podcast.